KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Cloudy skies and 46 degrees in Atlantic at 8:01. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, Greyhound breeders, casino operators, and others are awaiting word on whether Governor Terry Branstad will sign a bill approved by the legislature that would end racing in Council Bluffs and limit the sport in Dubuque. Earlier this week, Branstad was noncommittal about signing the legislation. He needs to make a decision by June the 1st. The uncertainty has been difficult for breeders such as Melissa Schmidt of Bellevue. She wonders what will happen to her dogs and her business. The legislature overwhelmingly approved the bill, which requires casinos in Council Bluffs and Dubuque to pay $72 million. Half the money would go toward a fund for breeders, trainers, and shelters. The rest would finance continued racing in Dubuque by the Iowa Greyhound Association. News time is 8:02.
Sarah, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
Will you come in here, please?
The ladies' room?
Yes, please. I need a quiet place to talk so I can understand what you're saying.
Oh, dear. Have you looked into that problem?
Who says it's a problem?
Do you find yourself looking for a small, quiet room just so you can have conversations one-on-one? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Many of us struggle to hear when we're in a large, noisy venue, such as a sports arena, concert, or even at our favorite local gathering spots. But when you can't hear a conversation when you're out socially, asking your friends to join you in the ladies' room just to talk could be cause for embarrassment and a good way to lose friends. So let me suggest a hearing evaluation instead. More and more people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are finding that their communication difficulties can be overcome with hearing aids. Now, I'm not saying that having an evaluation means you'll need a hearing aid, but if you're struggling, it could be the first step to uncover why. Stop the embarrassment. Call ASI today with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
May is Better Hearing Month. Call ASI and hear better, live better.
Officials of the Wellmark Foundation on Thursday announced 19 recipients of its 2014 Healthy Communities Small Grant Program. The Healthy Communities Small Grant Program supports projects of $25,000 or less, with the goal of being a catalyst to bring groups together within a community to impact health improvements. A total of 112 applications were received for this year's Healthy Communities Small Grant Program. Among the 15 communities selected to receive funding in Iowa was the City of Atlantic, which received $25,000 for the Bull Creek Trail Reconstruction Project, the City of Manning, $25,000 for the City Park Connector Trail, and Mills County Public Health, $25,000 for the Eat Healthy Mills County Program. Stephanie Perry with the Wellmark Foundation said they're pleased to support the 19 community-focused projects in Iowa and South Dakota. The grants, she says, provide community support to help implement or enhance childhood obesity prevention initiatives and or community-based wellness and prevention programs. The 19 Wellmark Foundation awards amount to more than $404,000. A Sioux City man has been charged with neglect related to the death of his two-month-old son. Court papers filed Wednesday show 26-year-old Michael Williams was charged with the neglect of a dependent person. The Sioux City Journal reports Williams was arrested April 29th after bringing his dead son to Unity Point Health St. Luke's Hospital in Sioux City. Court documents say at the time of the arrest, Williams admitted to leaving his son unattended for long periods of time in his apartment. Investigators wrote that the apartment was in poor condition. Police say the boy's autopsy results have not yet been received. Williams would face a 10-year prison sentence if convicted as charged. He's scheduled to be arraigned May the 14th. Governor Terry Branstad and other state officials will mark National Police Week by honoring four law enforcement officials who died in the line of duty. Branstad will join others for the ceremony that begins at 10 o'clock today at the Peace Officer Memorial outside the Orrin Pape State Office Building. The event will be moved to the Capitol Rotunda in case of rain. The ceremony will honor the four, including Rockwell City Police Officer Jamie Bunting, who died September 13th of 2003 in a shootout. County supervisors in southeast Iowa have approved the site of a monument that would honor six brothers who were killed during the Civil War. Loiza County supervisors met Tuesday to discuss the future site of the monument that will honor the Littleton brothers. The site will be in Toolsboro, located alongside the Mississippi River. The Burlington Hawkeye reports the siblings' family lived in Toolsboro during the war. A committee tasked with helping to build the monument says members will meet in May to review a preliminary design. A final one should be completed this summer. Governor Terry Branstad says he has decided to present the Iowa Award to Kenneth Quinn, the president of the World Food Prize Foundation. The Iowa Award is the state's highest citizen honor. It was established in 1948. Past recipients include President Herbert Hoover, Vice President Henry Wallace, and the artist Grant Wood. Quinn, a former U.S. ambassador to Cambodia, took the job heading into the World Food Prize Foundation in 2000 after retiring from a 32-year career in the United States Foreign Service. He led the campaign to restore the former Des Moines Public Library and make it the new home for the World Food Prize. Quinn grew up in Dubuque. Branstad will present the award to Quinn on May the 30th at the World Food Prize Hall of Laureates. Iowa's executive branch has removed some former workers who were mistakenly included on a list of individuals who shouldn't have been hired. The Department of Administrative Services spokesman Caleb Hunter said Thursday that letters have been sent informing an unspecified number of people that they are no longer ineligible for state employment. Letters come after the Associated Press last month obtained a list of 975 ex-employees who were barred from employment due to prior firings or resignations. Union officials complained that the list included several mistakes, including current state employees and others who shouldn't have been included. Civil rights attorneys have filed a proposed class action lawsuit claiming the so-called blacklist was illegal and unconstitutional. Hunter says the department plans to release as much information as possible about the mistakes after a legal review. Governor Terry Branstad says he'll very likely sign a bill allowing the use of cannabis oil to treat severe epilepsy. The Daily Freeman Journal reports Branstad was asked Thursday morning at a town hall meeting in Webster City about whether he would sign a bill allowing the medical use of oil derived from the cannabis plant as a last resort treatment for seizures caused by a chronic form of epilepsy. Tiffany Hoffman told Branstad her daughter has daily seizures and might benefit from the oil. Branstad responded that he doesn't have the bill in his hands and reserves judgment until reading the final measure. But he added, "I think it's very likely that we will, and I really hope that it does make a difference for your daughter and other kids," he told the woman. Well, as families across the state prepare to celebrate Mother's Day on Sunday, a reminder for mothers not to judge themselves so harshly. Family therapist Karen Wallant says while many strive for the ideal of the so-called supermom, perfect in every way, that is, there is no such thing as just right.
There's, I like to call, small victories. There's just each individual moment, and how does that interaction go, and then the next interaction, and then the next, always building and building and building onto the basic bond. You know, there is no such thing as perfection. We're all in a process. We're all learning.
Wallant says mothers should take time out for some self-care on a regular basis, and they need to know that it's okay to reach out when they need help. She says the better measure of a mother is raising children who are healthy, content, and secure so they can reach their own potential in life.
What I really want to stress is that it's a lifetime relationship filled with, hopefully, security so that our children, no matter what age they are, can always feel they can involve us in their lives, can be engaged with us, and feel supported by us.
In addition to working with families, Wallant serves on the board of Attachment Parenting International. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Vladimir Putin is in Crimea today, where he's hailing that region's incorporation into Russia. It's his first trip to the Black Sea region since its annexation. The trip comes on the same day Russia celebrated Victory Day, an annual showing off of its military muscle in Red Square. This Sunday, another region in Ukraine plans to hold a referendum on independence in a vote similar to what occurred in Crimea last March. Pope Francis is calling for governments to redistribute wealth to the poor to help curb what he calls the economy of exclusion. The Pope made the appeal today during a speech to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and heads of major UN agencies who are meeting in Rome this week. Francis has frequently lashed out at the injustices of capitalism and the global economic system that excludes so much of humanity. More than 9,000 vacuum-sealed plastic pouches filled with the unidentified remains of 9/11 victims will be delivered tomorrow to the new Trade Center site. They'll be kept in a repository 70 feet underground in the new September 11th Memorial Museum that opens May the 21st, and only victims' families and forensic scientists will have access to those remains. But some families say a basement is no place for the remains. One woman who lost her firefighter son says, "Give them the respect so 3,000 souls can rest in peace." And 34 American World War II veterans are being honored today by the French at the U.S. Military Academy as the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings approaches. They'll be decorated as Knights of the Legion honor during a ceremony at West Point Academy. Hundreds of Americans have been awarded the honor since France opened up eligibility to all living U.S. veterans who fought on French territory during four major wartime campaigns. News time is 8:11.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in the funeral announcements this morning, Terry Lee Hulsbus, age 62 of Harlan, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Terry Lee Hulsbus will be today at 10:30 at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Wayne Halterman, age 89 of Bayard, died Monday. Funeral services for Wayne Halterman will be today at 10:30 at the Bayard Community Building, with the OD Funeral Home of Bayard in charge of arrangements. Rhonda Lynn McNally Peterson Hanner, age 52 of Stewart, died Saturday. Services for Rhonda Hanner will be today at 1 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Michelle Cooper, age 50, of Glenwood, died Saturday. Funeral services for Michelle Cooper will be today at 2 o'clock at the Southview Bible Church in Council Bluffs. Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Robert Bob Jamison, Sr., age 83, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Bob Jamison, Sr. will be on Saturday at 10:30. At the United Methodist Church in Greenfield, Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Lois Galpin, age 77, of Tulsa, Oklahoma, died Monday. Funeral services for Lois Galpin will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Douglas Doug Miller, age 37, of Cumberland and formerly of Council Bluffs, died Monday. Funeral services for Doug Miller will be this Monday at 11 a.m., at the Cutler, O'Neill, Meyer, and Woodring Bayless Park Chapel Funeral Home in Council Bluffs. Ione Johnston, age 82, of Stewart, died Thursday. Funeral services for Ione Johnston will be Tuesday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Nancy Young, age 77, of Oakland, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Nancy Young will be on June the 5th at 11 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reagan Beath Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. And Joseph Shute of Wahoo, Nebraska, and formerly of Oakland, died Thursday. Services for Joseph Shute are pending at the Reagan Beath Funeral Home in Oakland. Our news was brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.